This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Welcome back to The Cinnamon Effect. I'm Kimberly Hand, and today I'm here with Laura Elorza.
Hey there, and welcome to The Cinnamon Effect podcast. I'm your host, Kimberly Hand, and I'm thrilled to have you with me on this vibrant journey of discovery and growth. This podcast is your go-to space for embracing intention, where you'll find clarity on your unique path, deepen those meaningful connections, and unleash your creativity like never before. We'll explore how to build unshakable confidence and celebrate the beauty of gratitude, all while savoring the calm that consistency brings to our lives. Thank you for being with me. Let's sprinkle a little cinnamon into your day and make life sweeter, healthier, and more fulfilling.
Laura is a clinical psychologist who helps people break free from autopilot living and uncover genuine happiness. Through her private practice and her work with Unconscious Moderation, a platform built on change your thoughts, change your drink, change your life, she guides individuals through major life changes, emotional healing, and self-esteem building. At UM, she creates content and supports tools that combine hypnotherapy, journaling, and movement practices to transform people's relationship with alcohol without shame or perfectionism. She emphasizes understanding unconscious patterns over forcing change, fostering conversations that empower people to discover what truly works for their lives. Welcome, Laura.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here and start talking about this amazing topic about unconscious moderation.
Now, what is unconscious moderation?
Okay, let's start with that. I think it's so important. So unconscious moderation, it's an app that it's created on three main pillars. So the first one would be, we believe that hypnotherapy or guided meditation, it's one of the most important things to change our habits. So when we get into a meditation state, that we accept the suggestions, those are the moments that we can maybe recode our programming, if we could say that, like understand and get those suggestions more in a, oh, I can do this rather than I'm wired this way. That's how I live my life. So that's the main pillar. We also believe in movement. Movement for us is really important. Move a muscle, change a thought. We really do believe that, it creates a lot of like feel good chemicals in our bodies. So we always encourage that, and journaling, because our thoughts go really fast. Our hand can't go as fast. So taking the time to write down your thoughts helps you clarify. So what we do through the app, it's help individuals try and understand why alcohol has been their way of fixing something internal. It could be anxiety, it can be stress, or it could be the fear of missing out, and how to build those new habits that don't include alcohol in their lifestyles. So that's the main thing about unconscious moderation, and that's what we want to talk about today.
Now, is through the app, are you in like a hypnotherapy session while you're using the app, or how does that work?
Yeah, of course. So it's really wonderful because it's a program. It's a 90-day program. It's a journey. So day by day, you are giving a hypnotherapy session or a guided meditation, however you really feel comfortable calling it. But it's a 20-minute hypnotherapy that gives you different topics to think about. It could be your childhood, it could be how you were raised, or those belief systems that you have installed in your head and that sometimes or most of the time we don't question, but they stop serving us for a long time. So it's a 20-minute guided hypnotherapy. After that, you go ahead and have a journaling prompt. After the guided meditation, you have a journaling prompt to journal about what you experience in that moment, in that meditation. And then after that, you have a video of movement. It could be either stretching or moving or just like legs up the wall to regulate your nervous system, but it's to change your perspective and connect with your body. So every day for 90 days, you get these exercises, then help you uncover those unconscious motivations that you have when you drink, because drinking has become very socially accepted. And we drink for everything. You're happy, get a drink. You're sad, get a drink. You're celebrating, let's toast. But maybe it's something that we shouldn't be normalizing as much. And that's what the app wants for us to do. It's like, okay, maybe I want to be conscious about my intake and I want to understand what's going in my body. So that's the guide. And we also have a drink tracker, actually, that it helps you prepare whenever you're going into a social situation that, of course, maybe alcohol will be involved and you're getting a little bit anxious or a little bit like stressed out because you're in your journey of not drinking or moderating your drinking. So this drink tracker actually helps you, gives you like 1 minute meditations. So you can just like go in, listen to them and feel that support of your community saying like, it's okay to make a conscious choice. And it's beautiful. And you feel completely supported throughout the whole process of those maybe stressful environments when you start this journey.
Yes, I mentioned to you that I don't drink alcohol anymore. I'm almost 4 years alcohol free. And people constantly ask me, you know, well, what do you do when you're here? Or what do you do when you're on a girls trip? Or, you know, people have reached out to me, I'm going on a girls trip and I don't want to drink. I've already stopped drinking. But like, what do I do? And I would kind of give them my little tips and tricks. But I love that having that support on an app where you could just listen to something and kind of take that stress out of the moment for yourself. That seems very beneficial.
Of course. And it's like, I think it's so important to have a community, and what you're building here, it's really a community that you can give those tips and tricks and help out and telling someone like, oh, I've been through that. Mm-hmm. And I know it's difficult and I know it's tough and it can be challenging, but you're not alone. And that's what the app stands for. And it's all about understanding that if you make a conscious choice and set your boundaries, it's not a bad thing. Sometimes we believe that setting boundaries or saying no could be just like, maybe, oh, I'm not going to get invited to our next girls trip, or I'm not that fun anymore. And all this like very hard critic that it's inside our heads comes to play. And what this app really is about, it's understanding that you are like, drinking is not an identity. And separating yourself from your drinking is the first step. Mm. And I think that may be one of the main like tips that we can talk about. And it's like, you are not your thoughts. You are not your drinking habits.
I love that. And I actually just said to Ashley here that's in the studio with me, I said, now at almost 4 years alcohol free, I don't think of drinking as my part of my personality anymore. I just said that to her. Like, and so that is so important to, you have separated yourself from the things that you do, which could be applied mm-hmm. maybe to other realms of your life as well, not only alcohol, right? Like, you know, separating for yourself sure. from the actual habit that you have. I'm curious to know from you, being a clinical psychologist, how did this journey begin with the focus on alcohol?
So it really started because I saw people around me, and even myself, like you're in a social situation and drinking is involved, and you start noticing that because you're in that situation, you tend to drink a little bit more, or maybe just not feel right, or maybe the day afterwards, the hangover, it's just like completely draining and you feel very just tired and your body's drained of energy. So I saw that a lot of people felt that way. And then I got in contact with Unconscious Moderation and they were telling me all about like what they stand for. I was like, that's amazing, because they don't treat drinking like abstinence or moderation, not as a like a moral choice, because sometimes it like a lot of people do treat it that way. And those are two valid approaches that exist. Maybe some people have a clear set of boundaries and say, okay, no alcohol from now and every day, that's my choice. And maybe some other people think like, okay, drawing that line for me is really tough. So I'll start with moderation and maybe I'll reach that saying no, like no alcohol for me. So it's all about like not treating it as a moral choice, but more on understanding your psychological wiring and what feels comfortable and not intimidating to start this journey. And also, like personally, wellness has been involved, like something that surrounds my lifestyle since every time I think about it. It's like ever since I was little. And I think that alcohol, I don't have the exact like number, but alcohol has been on a downward
decrease. Spiral.
On downward spiral. Yeah.
No pun intended.
But it's been on a decrease in the last couple of years. People are starting to see like, it's not worth it. It's not worth the effects. It's not worth the day after, or it's not worth not remembering what I did last night because I want to be fully conscious about myself every single day. We are in a very wellness-oriented, conscious awakening right mm-hmm. now in the world. And I think it's beautiful. And that's why therapy has seen a spike. And then wellness podcasts are all over and you hear all this amazing people talking about wonderful things. And so I think it was just bound to fall, you know? Like mm-hmm. I was bound to fall into this beautiful community of Unconscious Moderation.
I love it. I love it. I agree with you. I've seen it as well, the trend of people drinking less and less and wanting to moderate. Would you say that the app is helpful to someone that's in an active addiction, or is it more for someone who can remove themselves from the identity of being a drinker and really say, you know, for me, when I decided to stop drinking, I thought, oh, I'm going to stop drinking for 90 days. And I did that quite a few times. I'd stop drinking for 90 days and then I would start again. But it felt like something that I could easily start and stop. So who mm-hmm. is the ideal person that would be using the app?
So for us, the ideal person is someone who recognizes that, yeah, maybe drinking is something that I do. It could be like 3 times, 4 times a week. I do it a lot in social events and I am conscious about it. And sometimes I use it as a chemical buffer to feel more comfortable or feel more confident. And I want to take out that crutch and I want to be able to feel good in my own skin. That's the main person that this app is built for. For people who are really, really struggling, we do believe that it's important to get and seek medical attention and a community, like a in-person community that can help you through what you're going through. And then use the app as an extra little reminder, you know, it sends you reminders and it's like, hey, you haven't done your daily meditation. Let's install these new habits. So our target person is someone who really wants to change their habits and it's conscious about the habits that they're maintaining can be a little detrimental for their health.
I think even, you know, if you, maybe you have stopped drinking and it's nice to have that a little extra support, because I will say for me personally, sometimes the thought will just creep in of like, oh, well, I could, you know, I could have a drink, or I could, you know, be in this social setting, or maybe I'm feeling nervous about a social setting. It's a, I'm around a bunch of new people, but to have that as that extra support, I really like that. How do you distinguish between...
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first stepfather, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Dopamine-driven pleasure and actually being happy and that soul-deep happiness that I think we are all striving for.
I love that question because I think it can, like, it connects very much with drinking. So drinking, it's that dopamine hit. So when we talk about pleasure, we're talking about dopamine driven actions. So pleasure, it's the phrase of I need more. So I drank a glass and I feel loose and confident and I feel even funnier. So I need more. It is that intense feeling and it fades quickly. Mm-hmm. And what happens with dopamine and the science behind it is that the neurotransmitter, which is dopamine, excites the next neuron and then the next neuron and then the next neuron. So it creates like a full net and it like spikes up your brain. And too much excitement too frequently can be damaging. So just like think about electric charges into your head constantly. It can create a down regulation to your brain and it creates what we call the down regulation. So it's harder for you to get excited once you get that dopamine rush. So you need bigger hits. So you need bigger hits to get that same effect. Does that like make sense?
Yes. Yes, it does. And, you know, there are obviously other things that we do that provide dopamine hits other than alcohol, right?
Yeah.
So shopping.
Social media.
Social media, video games, you know, for kids, like all of that stuff. So could technically the hypnotherapy sessions and everything, could that help with other habits?
For sure. Mm-hmm. Like it is, the name is unconscious, right? Mm-hmm. And of course, some people use alcohol as their unconscious buffer, mm-hmm. right? And it's their Band-Aid. And some other people use social media, and I see it all the time and in my one-on-one sessions with the patients. And it's like, oh, like I need to post because I want to get validated. And I love to get that validation. And that's also dopamine right there. That like, that heart, that comment, it excites you. And what happens with this is that it's not constant. You don't know when the next hit is going to come. The same with alcohol, or the same with video games or shopping. You don't know where the next hit is going to come. So you're still expecting it. And that is dopamine. And that's what, like, of course, the hypnotherapy sessions don't only mention alcohol, but mention different, maybe wounds that we may have that we use alcohol, shopping, video games, social media as that, those band-aids. So it's more of the symptom, we can say. Those things, that those dopamine seekers, are symptoms, but the core, it's an unconscious wound. And what we want through the hypnotherapy and what we want through the journaling and through the community is for you to understand, oh, like, this is my wound. This is what, like, hurts me. And I'm going to heal it so I can resignify and move forward.
What are some tips or actions that we could take on our own, aside from the app, when we are feeling like we need that dopamine hit?
Okay. So I completely agree. Sometimes you're like, okay, I'm seeking something and I feel not satisfied. So what we want is seek for happiness or serotonin. So happiness, it flows through calmness to that content feeling, to that moment of enough, and I feel no rush. So it's that that sense of steadiness and feeling comfortable with yourself. So what you can do, of course, do more things that you enjoy and that fill your cup. So it could be working out. That's a beautiful way to seek that happiness and seek that release of serotonin. For example, hugging someone you love, it's one of the best ways to release serotonin. So find a friend, find your partner, find your kids and hug them. Mm. That releases serotonin for you. And funny enough, like eating a banana, it also releases a ton of serotonin. So if you feel that you're seeking for something, that rush, maybe eat a banana and see how you feel afterwards.
Oh, interesting. I love bananas. I usually have at least a half a banana every day. So
you're releasing serotonin right there.
Is there a certain time of day or does it really matter?
No, it's any moment that you may need it, really. Like, of course, there are, like, you need to talk about nutritionists about, like, spikes in sugar and everything, but from the psychological part, it's having a diet rich in nutrients gives you a serotonin boost. That's it.
Now you can deplete your dopamine, right? Like you can exhaust, like, I'm not asking it the right way, I don't think, but like, if you are addicted to dopamine and you're constantly looking for that hit, right? Mm-hmm. You've kind of exhausted those dopamine receptors in your body. What do you do?
For sure.
Okay. What do you do if you're a person like that? Like, can you build that back? Like, how does that work?
So it's really important that at those moments, you ask yourself the question of, what am I doing? What am I looking for? What's the goal? And why am I focused on the goal and not the process? Because dopamine could be the goal, right? It could be just reaching for a certain number or in our bank account or a certain level in a video game or owning a certain amount of stuff or that drink. Mm-hmm. And of course, if you excite your brain so much in that rush, it creates what we were talking about, that down regulation. And it kind of just atrophies a little bit those neuroreceptors. So what we want you to seek in that moment is genuine happiness. And how do you find happiness? Community, relationships, contact, and doing things that create habits that are sustainable in the long run. So, for example, it could be like start a new hobby. Like as an adult, it's so important to start new hobbies to keep your mind, of course, entertained and keep your mind young and create neuroplasticity. That's the main thing. So when you are developing new skills, your brain has all the networking done. It's there, but you stop using certain ways and certain routes. So when you start doing a new hobby, you reactivate those routes and that creates the neuroplasticity and that helps you regulate again your dopamine rush and seek for serotonin.
So go out and learn something new, people.
Yeah, you know? For sure.
Pick up something new. And this is a good lead into life purpose. So what do you believe about life purpose? Do people have one life purpose? Do they have multiple? How does that play into what you are doing with, you know, regulating those dopamine hits and everything? How important is purpose in our lives?
So I think what you said, it's so important to know that we've been sold the idea that you have one life purpose and that you're here for something and that's what we want to seek. And a lot of people do feel very passionate about one specific thing. And some people come, for example, to the one-on-one and they were like, I have so many things that I enjoy. Like, how do I choose? And the thing is, you don't have to choose. You don't have to choose one life purpose. You can have multiple things that excite you and multiple things that can drive you. It could be, for example, for women, it could be, yeah, I want to be a mom, but I want to be an amazing entrepreneur and I want to be a great friend and I want to be a great daughter. And those are all life purposes. And when we see ourselves in this dynamic movement and in with all those phases and all those roles that we can act, then you see like, oh, maybe I'm not just one level. Mm-hmm. I am a multiplicity of things and it's beautiful. And I get to work in different ones. And that's why I always say like, we got to start learning how to juggle. Mm-hmm. I think it's the most important thing because we can do a lot of things, not everything at once. So it's find focus, work for a little bit, Once you get tired or, okay, this is enough work for today, let's look for another life, for the other 10 life purposes that I have. And let's work a little bit on this one and then a little bit of this one. It's like juggling. You have two in hand. Some others are working up in the air. And then you find that contentment in multiple areas in your life.
I think that, you know, a lot of times when I see people that are into a bunch of different things, they do kind of weave together surprisingly, even though it seems like something is so different that they end up weaving together. And that's what makes life beautiful. And that's what makes people so interesting is that they have so many different interests and, you know, it makes life more exciting, I think.
For sure. For sure. And I agree with you. And like, you see these people that are juggling a bunch of things and they feel so happy and they feel fulfilled because it's not the destination, it's the journey of, oh, I get to do every day a bunch of things that I enjoy and I'll make time for it. And yeah, I have to negotiate stuff and I gotta be active in my life. And that's the thing. A lot of people don't, we're not active and we kind of just like lay like on the autopilot and just go through the motions.
I want to talk about how someone can start questioning their habits that feel maybe it's something normal that a lot of people do, but it's really harming them. And alcohol obviously is a great example of that because it seems like everyone is doing it or everyone is drinking, but it is a class one carcinogen and it's a poison. So, but so many people are doing it. So you kind of brush it off as being normal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what you said, it's something very normalized, but when you start asking yourself the question of who am I doing this for? Or why am I doing this? And if the answer is because it's expected from me, or it's what other people do, or I've done it since forever, since we're very little, there are many ways that we learn. One of them, we learn by observing, right? And we've seen kids, their environment is like, they behave exactly like that. And they don't really question it. So starting to question your habits and those things that are installed in your heads that kind of just, okay, this seems a little bit off. Like, mm-hmm. this is not working for me anymore. Or drinking, I'm getting even tired, or I'm getting tipsy way too quickly, and this is doesn't feel right anymore. Starting to ask yourself the question of, like, why am I doing it and who am I doing this for? It's also aligning. So it aligns to your desires. So it's not, it's expected from me. It's what I want to do. And I think the main thing is asking yourself the question, do I want to do this or is it expected from me? And those are like two ways. If I want to do this and I'm conscious about it and I want to create a habit, that's desire, that's action, go ahead. If it's expected from you, or it's everyone does it, so I'll do it again, like that's the culture, maybe we should take a pause and ask ourselves, why is it important for me to follow the culture? Or why is it important to me to follow what everyone is doing? Mm-hmm. Who am I? And how do I build on that identity?
I love that, because I've heard from a lot of people that maybe travel for work, or they're in the event business, so they're constantly around social situations and drinking, and they say, well, everyone is doing it. And how, I think almost in the work setting, it's very hard for people to say, no, I'm not going to drink. Like, for some reason, that environment, it's like you want to be accepted, or you want to do what the status quo is, or what the other people around you are doing. And so, you know, I just say, yeah, if that little voice is like talking to you and telling you this could be a problem, this doesn't feel right, then you need to take that. And it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks, because like you said, ask yourself, are you doing it because you want to do it, or are you doing it because of somebody else? And if you're doing it for somebody else, then you need to cut it out, because it's not even serving you.
Exactly. It's not serving you. And if you're doing it for somebody else, then you understand, like, oh, maybe, like, what's my focus in life? Pleasing other people, or my main life purpose, or my life purpose is living my life actively. And if that's this, if that answer aligns better with you, it's like, okay, I have to take a pause and understand what aligns with my principles and my values so I can make a more conscious choice. And it's something that a lot of people call like the fear of missing out, what you were saying, like, oh, I'm in the social setting, everyone is doing it, so I got to start doing it. And it's a thing that you've heard, like I've heard a lot, and it's the fear of missing out. Of sometimes we tend to conform with the norm and conform with the group just so we feel included. Our brains operate that rejection, and it's processed in the same area that physical pain is processed. So when we feel rejected, we actually do feel pain. And sometimes when we start creating habits, or not creating, but just starting habits that everyone is doing because I want to fit in, it's to avoid that pain. And then that's the moment we got to ask the question, is it really this the only friend group or the only job or the only way I can network? Probably not. Mm-hmm. It's the easy way or the one that a lot of people like default to, but it doesn't mean it's the right one for you.
Yeah, you have to just be a little slicker, I think. You know, go in that setting, order the drink on the sly that's just club soda and lime, and nobody's going to know the difference. And you can do that for a little while. And nothing says you have to tell anybody exactly what you're drinking, you know? I think that helped me in the very beginning. I would just be like, you know, quietly order with the waiter and just pretend for a little bit. And if that's what makes you feel better, and less like you're going to be called out, then that's what you have to do for a little while, you know?
Yeah, and until you feel comfortable sharing that, hey, I'm not drinking, but it's okay. That's not part of my identity. You don't have to share this with like your coworkers or anything like that, because I think it's also like pretty bad habit that we start questioning people's like drinking choice or eating choices or like how they dress. Like who are we to judge? And if someone doesn't want to drink alcohol, it's not on us to question that. So installing that also in your like group of people that you surround yourself with, like, hey, I'm not questioning what you guys are drinking, so don't question me.
Exactly. Now, what is the hidden difference between guilt and shame? This is something that you talk about, and I would love for you to explore that here.
For sure. So I think it's some things that, two words, very similar, that it's used kind of like as synonyms, and it's not. So guilt would be the phrase, I made a mistake. So it's, oh, I drank too much last night and I promised myself I wouldn't drink. I made a mistake. While shame is, I am the mistake. So it's, oh, I am the drinking. I will never stop. I am a mistake. I shouldn't be doing this. And so it's that difference. So I am the mistake. How you create and get away from the shame is through connection. So if you've seen and if you heard the podcast up till now, everything that we're talking about can be solved by connection, by community. And it's something that it's very important. So to get out of that downward spiral of shame is through connection with others and understanding. And I love this metaphor. You are the vast sky. Your actions, your thoughts, what you do for work, it's the weather. They come, they go, clouds, storm, rain, sunshine, everything comes and goes. You are the sky. So when we understand that and we understand that what we do, it's not who we are, that's how we get out of the shame. With guilt, it's, oh, I made a mistake. So how can I act and align my actions from now forward so it reflects me? It reflects the vast sky, not that cloud, you know?
Oh, that's beautiful. I like that. I like that a lot. I want to know, because you are in Portugal. We talked about this. I said, where are you in the world? Not expecting for you to say Portugal. You did shock me on that. So tell me, I would love to know like a little bit about your lifestyle. You're very into wellness. You said that you can work from anywhere in the world and you travel a lot. So I would love to hear more about kind of your life.
Yeah, so I'm very into wellness, and I'm lucky that I surround my myself with people who are also very into wellness. And I do travel and I get to create content around this topic. And a lot of people do ask me like, oh, like, how do you keep up with your wellness habits when you're on the road and you're doing all these things? And it's as simple as taking action. So sometimes it's a lot of people, it's like, oh, like you don't have a gym everywhere you go. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, but I have my shoes. I have my running shoes and I can go for a run, or I can walk, or I can get sunshine and I can swim. And there are a lot of ways that you can create those wellness habits without money in your pocket or the super aesthetic facility. And it's all about wanting to take action. So that's what I do. And that's how I live my life. Especially like I of course, we were talking about this. I use the app as well. Like that's my main source of mental health, like pockets of mental health. It's like, oh, like I want to meditate and I want to journal. And I think that's also super important when you're moving constantly as well.
How long are those meditations typically in the app?
So in the app, they're 20-minute guided meditation. I'm also a yoga teacher. I just got my certificate, and I remember the first moments I started meditating. I could do it for 3 minutes, like silent meditation, 3 minutes. I was like, oh my God, I need to like start doing something. But it's of course a muscle that you gotta train. And the first way you can train it is by guided meditations like the ones in the app. They tell you and they focus you and they tell you what to think and it guides you. Later on, you can do it by yourself. It could be in a choir room or it can be in a room full of people and you feel overstimulated and you need a moment for grounding and coming back to yourself. And it's a muscle. You just got to train it. And the app, it's a wonderful trainer for that.
What is the most out of the box wellness habit or routine that you do?
I have a couple. Like,
yeah,
me and my
fiance
have a couple.
I'd love to hear.
So we try to do cold plunges everywhere we go. It could either be on actual cold plunges or have like a 5 a.m. swim in the cold, cold ocean. But I think it just like sets us up for a great like energetic like activation. Out of pocket, we do a lot of like journaling as well. But more into we give each other prompts. So it's like, oh, you talk about this and he gives me his and we journal together. Sauna for us, everywhere we go, there has to be a sauna.
I'm the same. I love the sauna. I'm not so much a cold plunger, but I do like the sauna. And I know that you love cold plunging because it builds resilience, right, in the body. Yeah,
for sure. And it's really cool what cold plunging does to your body. And it can either be just like a cold shower. You can start with that. And it creates resilience and it creates the mental ability to know that you can handle stress because it's in a contained thing. It's like, oh, like I'm swimming in a really cold ocean. I can get out.
Yes.
Or in a tub with ice cubes all over me, I can stand up. And it creates the possibility of, oh, I'm in a situation that it's very stressful. Right now, I can pause, breathe, walk away, gather myself, and come back to the situation.
I love that. What are some wellness what do you feel like you've learned about wellness from traveling throughout the world? And where is home base for you? Or are you constantly in a different place?
So home base is Colombia, where I'm from. But I would say what I've learned about traveling around the world, and it all ties back to what we were talking about, community. I think the main thing for wellness is create a community that holds you accountable, and just the presence of that community, it's like, oh, like activates you to build or continue those wellness habits. And it takes an army, you know, it takes a lot of people, and it's beautiful when you find your group, your tribe, your family. And that's the main thing for wellness, just relying on each other, helping each other out. It could either be through like a simple message or sharing a podcast episode or a check-in call or just, yeah, that's the main thing I've learned about wellness while traveling. It's create your community. It holds you and it grounds you. And it also gives, it's one of the life purposes, one of many, but one.
Yes, yes. I believe that too. And community has helped me a lot. And when there's a little confusion around community, because people are like, oh, I'm not a part of a community. But that workout class that you go to every Tuesday, that's a community that you can be mm-hmm. a part of. And you are all supporting each other, whether you realize it or not, by getting through that workout class together. It may be hard, you may be struggling, but you look at the girl next to you and you're like, she can do it, I can do it, right? Yeah. So yeah, the community can be anything. Like, don't overthink it.
For sure. You know, yeah. And it's what like a lot of people do, like on social media. They create that community and they like send like beautiful message like, hey, I've been struggling today. And then you see a bunch of people commenting like, you can do it. We all go through this. Come on, let's do it together. And it, you haven't really like spent a lot of time with them, but still you feel that support and you're like, okay, like people have gone through this and I know I can do it too. It could be through social media, what you said, workout classes. It could be through an app. It could be through live sessions that or courses that you're taking to learn something new, a new habit. That's how you build community, really.
I love it. Laura Alorza, thank you for joining me all the way from Portugal. This was a wonderful conversation. And tell everyone where they can find you and shout out the app again, where they can find that as well.
Of course. So you can download the Unconscious Moderation app, and it's either on the App Store or you can also find it in Google Play. We have a YouTube channel that we talk about, like we sprinkled in a lot of topics that we talked about. So like happiness versus pleasure, shame versus guilt. We talk about FOMO versus YOMO and a lot of like different topics that you can definitely go and watch the videos. And you can also find us in Instagram, TikTok, and LinkedIn.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being here on The Cinnamon Effect, and we'll see you guys next time.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for tuning into this episode of The Cinnamon Effect. If you enjoyed our time together, don't forget to hit that follow button on your podcast app and sprinkle a little love by leaving us a 5-star rating and a quick review. Your support means the world to me. For even more goodness, check out the show notes where you'll find links to some of my favorite products. And don't forget to visit thecinnamoneffect.com to connect with me directly or to grab your TCE Gratitude Journal, your next step towards a more grateful life. I can't wait to spice things up with you again next time. Stay vibrant, stay inspired, and remember to add a little cinnamon to your life every day.